and welcome to the bonus episode of the EMJ podcast. This is one in a series of episodes entitled The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. This podcast series has been supported by Viatris. I am Dr. Hannah Moyer. I'm a senior medical writer and moderator for EMJ. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Yemila Zabana, a gastroenterologist at the Hospital University Mutura Terrassa, which is affiliated with the University of Barcelona in Spain. And we're also joined by Shubha Bhatt, a clinical pharmacist in the Digestive Disease Institute at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, USA. Again, thank you for coming back and joining me for our discussions around inflammatory bowel disease. In this episode, we are going to consider the use of anti-TNF biosimilars for IBD. It's been mentioned a number of times in our previous episodes. So I think I would like to come to Shubha first as our clinical pharmacist. Could you discuss the role of biosimilars in IBD treatment and how they compare to the originator products that we see on the market?
So biologics are really extremely expensive medications, and they're actually one of the main contributors to IBD-related expenditure. And there's one interesting study that was recently published that projected this expenditure in the U.S. to be as high as $41,000 annually. So definitely IBD is an expensive disease, and the medicines are definitely driving up those costs. So biosimilars were introduced as a treatment option to provide the same therapeutic benefit as the originator product, but at a reduced cost. And so in addition to generating a price competition, which will drive down the cost of most of these products, including the originator down, the biosimilars can also increase treatment access, especially because, as Yemila had kind of alluded, we're using more of the treatment earlier on in the disease course. Some other additional benefits that we might see with the biosimilars potentially include lower insurance premiums in the future, and hopefully foster development of new therapeutic options, because now the originator product is going to be losing out money on their product, so they can hopefully spend that money and design other therapeutic options. So biosimilars are essentially defined as biologics that are highly similar to an already approved FDA product, which is known as the originator, and there's no clinically meaningful differences in regard to safety, purity, or potency. So consistent with this definition, biosimilars are equally as effective and safe as the originator product and should be used in IBD practice to optimize patient outcomes while decreasing healthcare spend.
And given anti-TNFs have only recently been approved in the USA by the FDA, perhaps we could go to Yemila for her insights from Europe around how we're finding the use of anti-TNF biosimilars and what key considerations you have when considering them in the context of IBD treatment.
Yes, Shubha just pointed very good. I mean, biosimilars have reduced significantly the global price of anti-TNFs. Therefore, the drug can be given without restrictions of price. And this has a clear impact in the healthcare economic burden of the disease. So this means that there's a great proportion of patients that will be able to receive the drug. So, and in fact, it has been demonstrated that the use of biologics has increased dramatically after the arrival of biosimilars. However, we have to remember, and this is something that I remember because I saw the arrival of biosimilars 8 years ago, that at the beginning, we as clinicians were very reluctant to the use of something new, especially on those patients that were doing well under anti-TNF. So with the experience of time and good evidence, it's been demonstrated that, as Shubha has just mentioned, that biosimilars are exactly the same as the originator molecule, and that this is, this is as effective and safe as the original molecule. So this is what we are tending to tell our patients. So they are being treated with the same drug. So even in the guidelines nowadays, for example, the British one, as I remember, they recommend the use of biosimilars of anti-TNF as the first line therapy. So and they do recommend the switching if the patient is under remission. It means that if the patient is under the originator molecule and the patient is under remission, they suggest that we can safely switch the patient to the biosimilar because it will be the same drug. And I completely agree. But this was not the beginning of ages. And I think that the experience that we all have with infliximab, that was the first biosimilar, will for sure influence the experience that we will going to have with any other biosimilars. And now we're having just is arriving the biosimilar for secukinumab now. So we're going to have biologics for a long period of time.
So, Amelia, I love that you mentioned that there's like the hesitation at the very beginning of when biosimilars came out, because that was definitely a big obstacle in the U.S. Because of the process of extrapolation, where we know that they don't necessarily need to repeat clinical studies. The manufacturer doesn't have to repeat clinical studies as long as they're able to demonstrate that biosimilarity component, which makes sense because, again, you're showing that the structure and the function is the same, so like highly similar, so thereby there shouldn't be any significant differences in the outcome. So it totally makes sense that the writer is an abbreviated but the robust process for biosimilars, but we're very thankful that Europe has led the way in providing that real world evidence, because that kind of, I think, eased our comfort level too with the biosimilars. And like now we have internal studies also coming out from the US that are saying exactly, no surprise, the same thing, that biosimilars are effective when they're safe and they can really reap a lot of benefits if they are successfully adopted.
Mm.
Shubha, you concluded that very nicely, that the efficacy and safety is clear, that biosimilars are as appropriate as other therapies, and that switching individuals is okay. And so that practitioners listening to this episode should not feel reluctant to consider anti-TNF biosimilars, and also to provide that confidence to their patients if their patients ever have any questions or queries about the switching or the use of those biosimilars. So thank you so much. That's all we have time for this episode. Again, I'd like to thank Yamila and Shubha for taking the time to join me and provide their insights in this series, The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. If you enjoyed this episode, you can hear a number of these in the series, which are on your preferred podcast platform or by visiting emjreviews.com. So I look forward to you all joining us again soon. Thank you.